4 o'clock. Good to have you with us. Your level of Tiger concern as they got blasted out of Pittsburgh. Pirates are 1-11 their previous 12 until they swept you. You've lost 9 of 10. Here are your next 10 games. 4 against the Jays, who are the hottest team in baseball. 3 against the Diamondbacks, fighting for a wild card. And 3 against the Phils. Cleveland, who can draw within 8 tonight. Their next 10, 3 more against Baltimore. 4 against Kansas City. 3 against the Rockies. Better be careful now. I'm not freaking out, but getting swept by the Pirates is a joke. And in the manner it happened, shout out Rico, last night was ridiculous. That was Little League Baseball. That was a ridiculous performance by this team with mental errors, lack of hustle, and routine mistakes. To come out today and to do nothing against the likes of a Brady Falter, to play a lifeless 6-1 game, come on, man. So, look, I'm probably a 5 out of 10 concern-wise. 10 games is a solid sample, but the next 10 dictate whether I go from concern to panic. Yeah. I want to know where you guys are at with it.
Yeah, because last night it was like shades of what was the 06 World Series where they just couldn't make all the throwing errors, and it was just like, guys, what are we doing out here?
248-539-9797. Kyle is up next. 97.1. Kyle, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, doing good, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
So, yes, sir.
Wanted to call in and provide some comfort if people are out there looking for answers. You know, why are the Tigers struggling so much? Is it the hitting? Is it the pitching? Is it all these stats? I got the answer for everybody, and it's 97-1. You guys jinxed them. You guys jinxed them so hard this season. Not just your show, everybody. Costa, Jansen, Karsh, Anderson, all the way up to you guys. It was it was unbelievable unfolding. And unfortunately, when you had predicted the 3 years of success, that was the moment for me when I was like, oh, we're screwed.
No. Kyle, do you really believe they're not going to win this division in your heart today? Do you believe they're not going to win it?
I can see it. I can see it not happening. That's where I'm at.
I'll be there after the next 10 games if it goes poorly. You know, you pull a 2-8 or a 3-7 in the next 10, I'll be there with you, Kyle. But I don't know. I'm also the same guy who told you I never thought they were winning 100 games. I just thought they were a solid 90-win baseball team.
Yeah, I hope we get there, but, you know, I'm just trying to make sense of things. That's just a waste of time, you know, like with Levi Onwuzurike being signed and then his ACL going out. Like, we knew ahead of time his knee was having issues. That didn't really make sense. The Beasley and Pistons, Trajan Langdon thing, like, they had to know ahead of time, but Our strategy didn't really make sense at the time. And so, you know, you got to stop looking to make sense of stuff and just start feeling what your gut says. And I just think we jinxed it. That's just straight up. That's all right. We did.
I mean, I don't, I can laugh at it. I dig it. I don't believe in jinxes. I think I can make sense of it. You don't have a really good lineup. It never was really good. Javi Baez is not a good baseball player. He had a good 2 months. Great. You put him in. Would Zach McKinstry play for the Dodgers? Would he play for the Mets? Would he play for the Yankees? No, no, and no.
No, not in the everyday lineup, no.
But here, he's this superhero. Okay. Look, you also have guys who are supposed to be good who are awful. Vierling is awful right now. Meadows is awful. And then, yeah, like a month ago, you had this Jamai Jones thing, and it was like the Powerball. Well, I'm sorry. That's not going to continue. Yeah, congrats on a meaningless home run last night. I'm talking about the big hits. Oh, we're bringing Jamai off the bench. Dude, I'm sorry. Those are things that are amazing that it put them in this position. But I think it's okay to make sense of it. Ask yourself, how good are these players? Realistically.
No, realistically, Mike, they're okay. They're not great. And that's why I said, you had to go out and make a splash if you were really seriously trying to get to the World Series. Not going down that rabbit hole. You know how I feel. You got a 2-year window before school leaves. You got to push for go all in. But right here, right now, it's like, well, we're winning. So, you know, it's the car that gets you to work back and forth. Well, I don't need to buy a new car. This one is fine enough.
But what's the splash that fixes it? In your mind?
I don't
think. Forget about the viability of whether it happens and answer the question. What would they need to do for you to take your hat off, scratch your head and go, wow, this is amazing? Who would it be? Who is this bat or pitcher.
I don't think that there's one thing. And that's, I've reached a point now.
Wow.
One thing is not going to help you. Okay. Mm. You know what?
No.
Here you go. The one that would actually, I'd take the hat off if somehow or another, all of these rumors that we saw all season long and they pull off something and they get Skeens here. Then I'll say, you got something.
Okay.
Other than Skeens, I don't think one person can fix this team.
Okay.
Now you can play a date.
No. I don't think that's worthy of that drop. We'll just go to Ed instead. I think it's a legitimate opinion. I mean, it's hurtful, but it's
not. For all those ridiculous articles that we got, yes, that's one where I'm like, okay, you know what? You've just hit the reset button. Now you got a 1-2 where, yes, you're going to win the first two games of a series. Or whenever those two go out there, I expect wins. That's a self-correction.
Go to Ed, 97.1. Eddie, how you doing, bud?
Good. How about you guys?
Good, Ed.
I don't look – I'm not optimistic about their offense going into the Toronto game. They keep bringing in the same lineup over and over again. Unless they do something different, I don't see – maybe 2 out of 3, but I don't see anything else besides that.
But here's the problem. Eddie, what changes can they make? See, this
can they,
is
bring up Max Clark?
No. Listen, Max Clark barely has his ears wet in Double-A. He is over a year away at best. Look, man, Ed, this is the other side of the coin. When everybody gets their jollies that they play everybody and it's hitting chaos. Yeah, well, when it doesn't work, you know what you don't have? Real ball players to rely on. The bedrocks of a lineup. Now, you've got Glaber and you've got Riley. Everybody else is utterly replaceable. Mm-hmm. Now, the McKinstry thing, cool. If you want to rely on Zach McKinstry to turn your season around, I wish you good luck and God bless. It's a fun story. I'm happy for him as an individual, but that's not a guy I'm leaning on in a game 7 of the ALCS to get me home.
And to prove your point, Mike, yes, it would be nice if you had somebody in the regular lineup. The way how we feel about when Scooble's on the mound, if you see, you know what, that person, he's going to work this out. It's going to work.
You know who it would have been? Bregman. And it's not their fault. They did the best they could. I don't begrudge the organization at all. They tried.
But I got a feeling if this thing keeps going that we will get more calls where it's like, hey, well, maybe we need to bring up McGonagall or Clark.
They're nowhere close to being ready. You know what? Good. I hope you bring them up and they go 0 for 100. Because that's what this fan base deserves, because they don't get it. They do this prospect. They do this rosterbation. And they do all of this prospect nonsense. And you know what? Taste your own blood. Yes, I said it. When they come up and they stink, then they'll learn about prospects. I get so sick and tired of it. You can tell this town when a generation not paying attention. Oh, hell, prospects. Tell your friends. Yeah, Anthony Volpe. Oh, prospects. I've got Latin Mickey Mantle. Jason Dominguez blows. Prospects.
I'm
so sick of hearing about him.
Here's what I will say, Mike. I don't care that you're going to Sarah. You never mail it in.
No.
You bring the passion, buddy.
I get so frustrated.
You created a word.
I made it up.
Did he just say prospects?
Yes. Tired of it. Because there's a real chance that these guys stink.
I know. I said if this continues and in about a month, we're going to reach the phase, well, just give those guys a try.
Now,
let's see what they can do. Maybe they can be the spark.
The other thing is, even if you call prospects up, it takes often, unless you find a Pete Crow Armstrong, you find, I want to think before I speak, a Ronald Acuna. You find a Gunnar Henderson. Mm-hmm. It takes years for that to become the player you're projecting. So the idea that any of these guys are anywhere close to, saving a season? No.
Yeah.
Just no. And no, that doesn't mean I throw them in the garbage and trade them pennies on the dollar. Not what I'm
saying.
They're
just not ready right now. That's not the two people who are going to help this team. I get you.
I'm all out of sorts. I dropped my pen.
You're making up words.
248-539-9797. We're going to get to the people. Your concern level. Tigers lose 9 out of 10, swept out of Pittsburgh. And your next 10 games, it's a gauntlet. Meanwhile, the Guardians are on spring break. They're playing nobody. They could get within 8 tonight. Mm-hmm. And their next 10, Here's two words for you. Colorado Rockies.
Well, yeah, I didn't think that you'd be scoreboard watching right now. I thought your lead was comfortable enough.
Lose 9 out of 10. The other team goes 8-2. That's right. How it happens.
Right, where now it's like you're going to ask the question, did the Tigers win? Well, what did the Guardians do? Oh, man. Okay.
They got a couple more of Baltimore who blows. They're going to play the Royals who stink. And they got the Rockies.
You said they had the Braves coming up, too? Or?
They got the Braves. They got the Marlins. Yeah. They got a bunch of easy games.
Yeah.
Nah, I know it evens out. There's not a huge differential. Is their schedule easier than yours? Yes, by data, it is. But come on, you had a zillion game lead. It's going to be down to 8 if they win tonight.
For me, it's can you pull out of this funk? Because I didn't. Today was a game I expected. After as bad as you played last night, this was like, so this is what you guys. Next, the only thing missing now is a players-only meeting. Because that's when you know you're effed. Players-only.
I feel like I am when people are calling up trying to bring up, 20-year-old prospects. All right, we go right to the people. You know what we're talking about. And Rich is up next on the ticket. And I'm an idiot and hit the wrong button. Rich, how you doing, buddy? Rich?
You're good. I'm an idiot, too. I had you on mute.
Well, that's good. We can walk down the road together. How you doing?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'd like to say I'm good, but the state of this baseball team. They got me in a different state of mind. Sorry as I catch my breath. I heard you coming back to me.
You're all good. You're fine. So what's your concern level?
So it's up there. Seattle, good team, but they're not anything overpowering. Pittsburgh, obviously nothing out of and it's pathetic what they're doing right now. It's a mental aspect of they were doing so well. They knew the All-Star break was coming up, and they thought that they could take their foot off the gas. And in the game of baseball, if you think that you are perfectly fine, out of nowhere you can get hit with a chair.
Let me ask you this question. When I presented what your next 10 games are and what Cleveland's next 10 are, where did that take your concern?
Oh yeah, it put it on steroids. It bumped it up 10 different levels.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. The main thing, and I've always been trying to say this because I'm part of the Zach McKinstry fan club. In fact, not to sound the alarm or siren or whatever, but I was broadcasting for Central when he was a player there. I was with Cookies, the whole nine. That's a story for a different day. But there's no way that he can be your starting third baseman in the playoffs.
No.
I'm fine with him and Vierling and Parker Meadows, running around in circles trying to figure it out in center field. Whoever's doing the best that day, put him out there. And, yes, go get Eugenio Suarez. I don't care what it takes outside of Max Clark and Kevin McGonigal. Go get it done. They need pitching prospects. We don't have a lot of high-value pitching prospects. Give them whoever they want outside of Clark and McGonigal. And the only other thing that I had for you guys was I had a little player A, player B, and it's a kind of sarcastic one.
Sure.
Player A, this season. Oh, and by I need to mention that both of these players were free agents going into this season. Player A, 20 games started with an 11-3 record and a 2.20 ERA.
Can I take a guess? I want to take a guess at A. Matthew
baseball.
Boyd.
Of course it is. And player B, the sarcastic part, share drop, Alex Cobb. Joke. Imagine where we might be even higher than where we're at.
Player B, zero.
Well played, Rich. Well played.
I've been telling my buddies for most of the season that Alex Cobb was never going to pitch a game for us, and this was even before the season. That was one of the worst things that Scott Harris has done in his tenure, and you could quote me as a Scott bot, if you will, in the Steve bot range. It's unbelievable how big of a mistake that could be, but it could be an even bigger mistake if he decides to go out there and not go out and get a reliever and a third baseman for whatever it takes this season outside of Max Clark and Kevin McGonigal.
Rich, I'm just imagining that phone call that his agent is like, hey, the Tigers want you. Like, wait, don't they know I'm done? No, apparently not.
No, but Rich, here's the thing, too, when you stack it up. I mean, it's the Maeda thing. It's this. And now, I got to be honest, I can't kill him for bringing Flaherty back, but we can only judge the result. This does not look good. This guy's rocking an ERA near 5 over his last 7 starts. It's an ERA of 7.79. And by the fact he just made his 16th start, it triggered a vested option for next year, where now, as long as he doesn't opt out, which I'd be stunned if he did, you owe him $20 million next year. How comfortable you feel about that? Now, I know we don't care about next year. For right now, am I comfortable with Jack Flaherty starting game 2 of a playoff series? not the way he's been pitching the last 6 weeks.
No. No, and which is why I was just like, maybe you need to go out and get that number two guy. It's going to cost you something if you want to do this.
I gave you two options. I'm not advocating. I'm offering names so that when you throw that out there, the listener has something they can do.
Yeah,
you want a guy with term? Seth Lugo. You want an expiring guy? Zach Gallen.
Because there are two names. Mike, in the next week with the trade deadline coming up, the Tigers have to ask themselves the hardest question. That most people, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be? Do you want to be a World Series team or not?
Let's go to Alex, 97.1. Alex, how you doing, brother?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Afternoon,
how's everything going? Aside from the brush fire that's started to come up.
It's percolating.
To address the concerns of our friend Kyle and some of the other people that have called into the station, I really think that we as fans kind of like needed to come down off of our high horses. It was a lot of fun seeing the Tigers being the best team in baseball and, you know, blowing people out of the water and torque, you know, which I still really like Torkelson. But the fact of the matter is, you know, if you're not in for the bad stuff as well as the good stuff, I think it's a good thing for us because the bandwagon's going to start to clear off, you know, and the real people are going to stay behind and go, relax, take a deep breath. Yes, the next 10 games are a gauntlet, and yes, the Guardians will catch up to us. But that's how it works.
Yes.
You know, last year we were a 0.2% chance to make the playoffs just after the All-Star break. What happened? The Tigers just walked past everybody. Everybody just sat there like the house on the side of the road and let the Tigers walk past. You know, that line will forever remember. Will be forever etched in my memory. So, you know, everybody so Alex, just calm down.
No, and that's why I said, I mean, my concern's about a four. The next 10 games would determine if I go from concern to like, okay, house is on fire. We have a problem here. But no, yeah. I just getting swept by the Pirates, getting outscored 17-6, playing uncompetitive, unfocused baseball. Like, no, I mean, Alex, we do have to talk about that. But I'm with you. You built this lead. You're still, at a minimum, going to have an 8-game lead tonight. A little bit of perspective. But the next 10 games, they mean a lot, Alex. You do your job. You do your job, and you get through this deadline, and you maintain that cushion. You add a little bit. You're good. But, man, if this thing gets goofy, and you go 3-7 over the next 10, and all of a sudden Cleveland's 4 games back, and Rico's right, and you don't make a bunch of trades, Alex, that's... How am I going to come back to town and not be concerned?
I 100% agree. Yeah, again, you know, you outlined it perfectly. The next 10 games are very, very important for this franchise. But that's on the franchise. The franchise needs to be able to sit there and go, hey, boys, we need to keep up the fire here. The World Series is, you know, the playoffs are about 2 months, 3 months out. You know, and we don't have a whole lot of baseball left to play.
No. You know, I really think, Alex, what they have to do, and this is, again, this is my opinion. This is not a prediction. This is nothing I'm yelling about. I'm going to offer you how I view it. Whether it's, you know how like you like to hang on to stuff? Mm-hmm. People have a real hard time throwing things away. Hey, Bob, you haven't worn that shirt in 4 years.
Right. Yeah, but it's my favorite.
Bob,
it's not your favorite.
Bob, you haven't worn it in 4 years. So, I feel like...
No, I'm laughing because that was my basement. It's been down here in a box for 3 years. Don't think I'm going to use it. Time to get rid of it.
But the Tigers have to have that come to Jesus moment with some of the things that they like. And by things, I mean players. Hey, it was fun while it lasted. You are the weakest link. Goodbye. You have to make decisions like, I know we like to play this way. We take pride in our unpredictability. You know what? You're not good enough. Mm-hmm. Kindly leave.
Right.
And that's where trades come in. So, yeah, we had calls yesterday. Like, you got challenged by a couple guys going, oh, yeah, well, if we get a third baseman, where am I going to play X, Y, and Z? DGAF.
Care. Yeah, don't care.
I got to have better players.
Right. It goes like, is it? You need to figure out what you want to be. You want to be a World Series contender? Nobody stumbles their way and, oh, trips and falls. Like, it's been a long time since the St. Louis Cardinals and their record. That was a long time ago.
Okay? By the way, I just would like to say something. David, I know you couldn't see Rico, But, you know, we're sitting here. Obviously, we are Tigers-centric. We do have Saratoga up on the monitor. And Rico all of a sudden took like a triple take. You could tell he was distracted out of the corner of his eye. And what was up on that screen, David?
What is it, a brown horse?
Sovereignty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's right. Because we all know Rico's a big supporter of Godolphin and Sheikh Maktoum.
Now, the point is, and David, I was just more shocked. I was like, look, it's an elderly black lady there, too. Wow.
Oh, no.
Okay.
It was not the intent of my remark. The point I'm making is that's your boy.
David, I had a taste for pancake.
That's your. Dude, you can't ask me to go into a live read out of that. You can't.
We got to give a space.
Now we're even. Okay.
You know what? I was just saying, your boy's running Saturday. Yes.
Okay.
He's running Saturday. That's your man.
I'd rather that joke than the whole sovereignty. After reading the article, I told you, I felt guilty.
No.
That money went to rescue puppies that got caught up in the flood situation.
You just need to figure out who's coming in second to him in the gym, Dandy. Go make your blood money. Go make your blood money.
That money got donated to get rescue puppies that were stuck in flood situations. I felt better after I made that donation. So,
that's delightful. David, the ticket text. Then we get to the calls. Then we'll check in on football. Then we'll get back to panicking about the Tigers.
Rosturbation. Ha ha. Almost fell off my mower. Bronson on the mower in Middleville.
Bronson, please do not fall off the mower. And the reason I said that is that's all these people do with these minor league rosters. And they act like all these guys are going to come up and every one of them is going to be a winning lottery ticket. That's because this is a town that hasn't paid attention to baseball in a generation almost. And I'm tired of it. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, call up Max Clark. That'll turn the season around. Guy would come up here and go 0 for 100. He's nowhere near ready.
So you asked a question to Rico earlier about what it would take for him to be comfortable at the deadline moves that they would make. Here's someone answering. Cease Suarez, one of Mullins, Bader, Thomas, or Luis Roberts, and two relief arms, and I feel more comfortable with this team.
Okay, if that's what you need, then you're dead.
Yes. Right.
And that's not fair.
David, I don't think there's to the point now where there's one person that you're like, if you can just target a position, we'll be fine.
High-level right-handed bat and a high-leverage reliever, right. I would feel fine.
It has to be a combo meal. There's not just one thing anymore.
No. That's fair. Very fair. The opposite of, you're the inflator. Congratulations.
Yes. I'll try.
Pumping up the vibes. Yes,
it's
David.
It's rosturbation.
Okay. The lineup overachieved and it's evening out now. We lack professional hitters, period. Torque, Baez, McKinstry, Veerling, Meadows. Do I need to say more?
I mean, look, McKinstry, I would take out of that. I don't think McKinstry can be a starting third baseman on a World Series team. The rest of those players, you have every right to talk about it. Parker Meadows is my biggest concern. Because you can't say he's in a spring training phase. Guy's 125 at-bats into this, and he's unplayable offensively. I mean, that was a guy that was your leadoff hitter in the playoffs. This is a guy that if he wasn't essentially Willie Mays in center field, I wouldn't be able to play this guy.
No.
He's a negative war player right now, and that's with his defense.
No, he'd be ride-sharing with Akil Badu.
Wow.
This is from Tom. The Yankees and Dodgers will make trades and get better. What will the Tigers do? Call up Bob Melon or whatever his name is. I'm so sick of this.
But here's the thing,
Troy.
Right? When you say this is why I think that texter has a right to say this, because this is what, you know, like before Cookies went on vacation, you know, he was out here like King Kong. Oh, Tigers, unbeatable. Okay, enjoy the woods. The point is, we have a better record than the Dodgers. Okay, stop. Do you think Mookie Betts is simply just going to go 6 for 100 in eternity? Do you think Freddie Freeman will just be a singles hitter?
No.
Do you think that Teoscar Hernandez won't turn it around? See, right. When you start looking at why the Dodgers are struggling, I can at least draw on a pedigree from those players.
Yeah.
Versus your players were way over their skis, and I've got years of not good at baseball behind it. It's different.
Here, let me simplify that for you. As I said earlier, the Dodgers feel about all of their everyday players? The same confidence that we have about Skubal. Oh, he's not going to have two bad outings in a row.
Well, the reality is Dodgers are going to go out and make moves.
Yeah.
The Yankees are going to do everything in their power. I don't think it'll be enough. I don't think my team is good. Again, we lost our Skubal. Our Skubal blew out. Mm-hmm. Gerrit Cole died. You don't just work around that. Like if Skubal slipped and fell off the toilet and hit his head and you didn't have him, you're not overcoming it. So this idea, all the Yankees are still the Yankees. No, we're not.
No, yeah. You guys were set up for a great 1-2 punch.
It'll be a 1-2-3 once it's Cole, Fried, Skubal after 26. That's going to be a great rotation.
Just don't let the Mets get him.
I don't want to. I hate Steve Cohen. I've had enough.
I'm going to blame you.
Okay. I'll take good care of Tarik, and then we can all root for him together.
Massage the roster.
Will you please? Let's go to Tom, 97.1. Tom, how are you?
Oh, bad.
Okay. Noted.
It's a 10 to me because they've not been proactive enough in what they need to do to get things rolling. They're at a crossroads as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, so you're already at a 10. What do you want to see before the deadline that'll calm you down?
Oh, boy. To be honest with you, a trade for that all-star pitcher that pitched against us today.
Yeah, you could have him for a box of Cheez-Its.
Hey, whatever it takes. I'm at the point where if they don't sweep Toronto, then what are we doing?
Well, hold on. Listen, look at it over the next 10 games, just go 5-5. Just play 500 ball. Stem the tide.
But the trade deadline is in between. I just don't see this happening. I see Minnesota or Cleveland passing us off. That's where I'm at. So.
Oh, boy. I mean, Tommy, if
you know the funny thing, I think Tom feels this way because you saw the inverse of this last year. Where it's like, that's never going to happen,
correct.
And it
that's
happened.
That's actually correct. That is correct.
See, 110%. I'm still, Tom, how about this? If the next 10 games didn't go well and or there were a starting pitching injury to this team, I would be where you're at. I don't think it's fair to just disregard how well they've played because of 10 awful games. Now, if it becomes 20 awful games and there are some injuries, see, that's the other thing. You're not dealing with a whole hell of a lot from a lineup standpoint. And look, pitching, yes. But remember, Job was never going to help you late in the year. He only pitched a high of 90 innings as a professional.
For me, I thought that Job was going to be the playoff middle reliever, come out the pen type of pitcher. He was never going to be in that rotation.
They would have had to have taken him out of the rotation. You nailed it. Yes. 248-539-9797. We'll go to Jay, 97.1. Jay, how you doing, bud?
Hey, Michael, how are you?
I'm all right, pal. What's on your mind?
Well, I feel bad for Chris Illich that this grand experiment of being the A's, Pirates, and Marlins and refusing to spend any money didn't work.
I mean, look, they tried with Bregman. What do you want me to say? How about this? They lit $15 million of money on fire signing one of the Golden Girls. They did spend some money.
My daughter asked me to get her a pony. So what I did was I told her, baby, I offered a pony X amount of money and I didn't get him. How do you think my daughter feels?
Okay, fair. I'm just saying.
He landed the plane in the middle of the cornfield.
Did you put up $170 million for the pony?
No, I made a lowball offer to the pony.
No.
Which is exactly what our ownership will do. Because this ownership will not increase payroll at the deadline.
Now, see, Jay got a letter from the stable saying,
okay,
Jay tried, but we did not sell him.
All right. All I'm saying is this. You offered more than...
My daughter is still angry.
Okay. Jay, you win. I tried. Jay, I'm with you. Is that I don't ever see them being a top 10 or top 12 payroll team. But how am I going to blast them when they made, to me, they made a really great offer. The Red Sox made a stupid offer. Do you realize that Alex Bregman makes more money than Aaron Judge? Come on, that's a ridiculous offer.
How do I get my daughter to love me, Mike?
Alex Bregman, there's your answer. Jay, I understand it, but again,
it is Suarez now. I don't know.
I'm saying to Jay, they dropped $15 million on Alex Cobb. Awful. They spent, even though it's a 1-year deal, on Torres. They made a 6-year commitment to Bregman. Mm-hmm. He chose the opt outs and a $42 million balloon payment. I think it's a little more nuanced than saying they won't spend. Now, listen, if they don't make a real offer to Scoobal, a real one, that doesn't mean $400 million, but a real one, then you have that call. If they go into this offseason and they don't increase payroll, you can have that. If they go to the deadline and they don't do anything, or an article came out that said Tigers did not want to pay X, you can do that.
But at some point,
that's not
Mike,
what's happened.
No, but at some point, you have to come through. I get what Jay was saying, because he had the almost E-Rod trade. Remember that?
I know.
Then you had the almost Bregman thing.
Like, I understand.
After a while, you have to go ahead and make the deal.
I understand. But it's disingenuous to say they won't spend when they had the most substantial offer to Bregman on the table.
Right. No. They're willing to do this. I think now I need to see you actually make one of these
deals.
And
I agree. And I'm the king of wanting this team to spend.
Yeah.
I'm saying
they tried.
They tried. Almost got a pony. I know. I know Jay is screaming driving down the highway.
But after a while, Mike, they try doesn't resonate anymore. It's like,
it's fair. Got to come through. Yeah. Show me the deadline.
MSU almost scored a touchdown, Mike. Man. There you go. That's for you. For the pony.
What a parting gift. All right, let's touch table on a little bit of football, and then we're right back to Tiger baseball. So sit tight, guys. I know it's the main thing, but we want to make sure we do a little bit of football. David, music, please.
So let's get into it, guys. Let's talk about some struggling college football teams that need the bounce back this year. Let's talk about them, okay? Let's start with Auburn. Auburn under Hugh Freeze has gone 6-7. In 5-7,
yeah,
it hasn't looked good. What does a bounce back look like for them this year?
Bouncing Hugh Freeze. I mean, the articles this winter have been disastrous, and into the spring of the guy's more interested in playing golf than he is coaching. The recruiting hasn't been where it needs to be. They don't have a quarterback anyone cares about. You can have Jackson Arnold. I think they made a terrible hire. And oh, by the way, a terrible hire that took over for a terrible hire in Brian Harsin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which essentially was Jonathan Smith of the South. Brian Harsin was at Boise State. How the hell you end up on the Plains?
Who also went 6-7 and 5-7 in his 2 years.
Correct.
At Auburn.
I'm going to say it needs to be a regime change, but I'll leave it to Rico.
You know what, Mike? That may be the best solution, because, David, I was going to say they have to be competing for a playoff spot. Not necessarily getting one, but when you share the state with Alabama, you can't just walk in there and say, hey, you know, we're kind of good. Well, they win. How come we don't? I mean, Kalen DeBoer, if he comes out with another year like this, Bama's not putting up with this. So if I'm Auburn and you're not competing, you know what? It sucks that you share the state with them, but you got to do better.
Especially the money they put into it. Money isn't a problem.
Well, I hate to transition to the next program from that one, but it seems to be a similar situation here, because it's Michigan State. They started 3-0 last year, tumbled to 5-7 with Jonathan Smith.
Sure.
What does a bounce back year look like for them?
David, I would say the same, that you are competing for a playoff spot. You may not get it, but kind of like that, you share the state with Michigan, and Ohio State and Notre Dame are all within a 5-hour drive from you. Guess what? National title, been in the playoffs and was runner up. Like, they're successful. You're not. You're the weakest house on this block. You better do something, or your coach is going
to
be fired.
I'll be more specific. Win 8 games, beat Michigan, or take your ass back to the West Coast. And
look at that. Just dialed in.
That's it.
Focused.
8 wins, beat Michigan, or you can go back to Bend, Oregon. Get the hell out of here.
So this next program, I'm not necessarily going to ask what does a bounce back year look like, because I don't think they're going to have a bounce back year, and it's Stanford. They fired their coach in March. They have Frank right there as a 1-year interim. How do you get this program back to what it used to be?
You don't.
Well, you're going to walk into the ACC and kick down the doors and wait, they're in the ACC, right?
Yes.
I mean, David, I don't think anybody expects anything from Stanford. They're just one of those schools that they exist, but you only know them because you see their games on the "Hey, remember when we were good" channel.
Here's the deal. I agree with everything you guys said. The Troy Taylor thing is a disaster because, look, there were investigations into how he was treating staffers, both male and female. The point is, let's separate bad behavior from coaching quality. It was going to work. He was modernizing Stanford into a modern offense, into that spread option. You fire a coach in the spring, you got a dead man walking. You got the academic standards in an NIL world where they're not going to pay to play. And even if you can pay the people you want to pay aren't smart enough to go to your damn school.
Correct.
Stanford's dead.
No, no, you're right. He was, if you separate that, it reminded me, it was a lot like Baylor, where Baylor was becoming that football powerhouse. They were just scumbags off the field.
Harvest the organs, the body's dead.
So let's get to a program that's had a coach for an extended period of time here. And that's Kentucky. Mark Stoops there had a 10-3 season in 2018, 8-5, back to 5-6. Again, 10-3 in 2021, then 7-6, 7-6, 4-8.
Yeah.
What does it need to happen? What needs
flow
to happen
chart,
there?
Flow chart.
This is crazy.
Flow chart. Auburn. Fire coach.
Wow.
They are spending a bleep load of money in Kentucky. They are active in the portal. Ask Kenny. They signed his buddy Vinny Vandergrift or whatever it is. They're not producing anything.
Well, they just lost their main recruiter. So with Kentucky, and you had to be able to close out games. Like, they are the kings of, we almost won that big game. But did you win? No, but we were close.
I also hate Stoops' offensive philosophy. Got to modernize. Like a bad version of D'Antonio down there.
Is it Iowa?
It's getting there. It's not far from it. I just think for the money they're putting in.
Iowa minus the wave. Gotcha.
Yeah. Honestly. But Kentucky does have Publix. Pub subs. It could be a win.
Yeah, but you know what? You want the victory pubs, not the sad pub sub.
Fair.
Let's get to another team. I believe this is the ACC. I never remember anymore. It's the Virginia Tech Hokies here,
yeah,
where they've reached the postseason in 3 out of the last 4 seasons, but under Brent Pry, they are just 16-21.
Yeah, this is the last stop right here. They were supposed to be really good last year, and they simply weren't. Got dog walked by Vandy in the opener. This is it for him. And VTech, I view VTech as a place that should be a strong contender. No, not Vic in the national title game, but they should be really relevant.
But going back to Vic, like, you got to lock down that DMV area and get all the recruits to go there. That's what you need
to
do.
Yeah, and again, Beamer balls a long time ago. David, anything short of 8 wins down there, Pry should be gone.
And this next one, I'm going to focus on, they don't need a bounce back. I'm just going to say that. They don't need a bounce back because they made the playoff last year.
Then what are you asking for?
Because I need to know. This is Penn State, and this is Franklin.
Yeah.
Does he absolutely have to make it to the championship game this season?
I mean, James Franklin right now with the amount
I'm not talking about Big Ten championship
game. No, I'm talking about national championship game, because that means he's knocked off some teams that he probably shouldn't have beaten, and that's been the biggest knock on him. Big games, he folds and collapses. He is the living embodiment of the chair drop when it comes to a big game. So, yes. Michigan has won. Ohio State has won. Now it's your turn. Get to the championship game and try not to lose it.
I think he's got to make the playoff. I don't know, man. When you're in a one-and-done format, like, look at what happened to the Lions last year. You know,
But when you bring – it's one of those, like, Ohio State – man, when you bring the band back together, hey, we're coming back for this run.
I know.
But when he keeps failing and failing in big moments, it's like at some point – you got to make the thing, right?
All right, but here's the deal. He makes the playoff and loses. What are you going to do, fire him?
See, that's the you other know, side I mean, of you're right.
I get what you guys are doing is idealistic. It's not realistic. Correct. I love it. I agree with it.
Because what you end up doing is, it was it former at Tennessee? Not good enough.
And then you fall backwards. Yeah.
And you've never recovered. It was USC. It was like a lot of play. Like, David, your school, Michigan. It's not good enough. Lloyd Carr, you went lose 3 games. Okay,
and
you're fine.
You have Rich Rod and Brady Hoke. And,
so, yeah, it's one of those, yes, be careful what you ask for, because in this day and age, just because you're Penn State doesn't mean that people are going to quit their job and come running to be your head coach.
That is your College Football Blitz.